Welcome to the Menopause Conversations podcast. My name's Angela Council, and I am your host for this podcast. And this is where you learn all about menopause, what is happening to your body, to your hormones, and life in general. Everything is changing, and sometimes it can seem really, really confusing. But this is where the confusion stops right now. This podcast will share with you everything you need to know about how you can navigate your menopause transition with ease. So sit back and enjoy the show. Bye for now. Podcast, how are you today? I hope you're having a fantastic week. Now, the thing I want to talk about today, the topic that I want to talk about today is cholesterol. There are so many myths, so much misinformation around about cholesterol. And there's a lot of fear around about cholesterol when we don't really need to fear cholesterol at all. But let's just start right at the very beginning. What is cholesterol? It's a lipoprotein, which is a form of fat, and it is required for many different functions in the body. And some of the key functions it's required for is to make specific hormones and also reduce inflammation. Now, our body makes cholesterol, and it makes cholesterol in the liver, and it makes the majority of the cholesterol that we have in our body comes from our liver. Now, we can get a very, very low amount of cholesterol from our diet. About 30% of the cholesterol that we consume, we can actually absorb. Now, that means if you're consuming 100 grams of cholesterol, that you would absorb about 30 grams of that cholesterol. Now, it's almost impossible to eat 100 grams of cholesterol in one meal, but if you are eating a lot of really high-fat, high-carb meals, so, you know, the fries, the burgers, all of that, if you're getting a lot of that in one meal, then you could be absorbing 30% of the cholesterol in that meal in your body. But the vast majority of your cholesterol is made by the body. So we've got to think, well, if the body's making cholesterol, why do we think it's so bad? It makes cholesterol. The liver gets a message from the nervous system or the brain when more cholesterol is required. And as I said, cholesterol is required to make hormones, and these are hormones like our reproductive hormones, estrogen, progesterone. It makes our stress hormones, so our cholesterol, our adrenaline. It makes our sleep hormones, melatonin, serotonin, which is our happy hormone. It's also required for the conversion of sunlight that comes through our skin into vitamin D, which is required for many different functions in our body. So as you can see, there is a real need for us to be having cholesterol. But, you know, I know you've heard that there's good cholesterol and bad cholesterol, but is that true? Let's have a little bit of a breakdown of what cholesterol is made up of. So generally, when you get your blood test done, you'll have an LDL and an HDL reading. Now, the LDL tend to be called the bad cholesterol or the unhealthy cholesterol, and the HDL is known as the good cholesterol. But all cholesterol is made by the body based on the messages that it receives from the brain and what the body requires. So is it really good or bad cholesterol? Isn't it based on the inputs that we're giving the body? So LDL cholesterol is a very strong anti-inflammatory, and if the body is highly inflamed, the liver is going to make more LDL to reduce the inflammation. Now, I remember this being described to me once as if, you know, if you see a fire and all of a sudden you see all these firemen rushing to the fire to put the fire out, we don't go and try and get rid of all the firemen because they're at the fire. We help to put the fire out. And this is very similar to what cholesterol does, in that there's fire going on in your body and that's inflammation. And cholesterol is like the fireman that, you know, the firemen that rush to that fire to put out the fire. Yet we have the medical profession, the pharmaceutical industry saying we should be getting rid of the firemen, when the firemen are just doing their job, and that's to get rid of the inflammation. So if there's a lot of inflammation in the body, or if the body is stressed, the brain sends a message to the liver to say, hey, we need a lot of cholesterol, but we need it really, really quickly. And so what the liver does is it quickly makes up a form of cholesterol, and the form that it makes
is LDL. So that is what we call a low density lipoprotein, because it's quicker and easier for it to be able to make a low density form of lipoprotein than it is to make a higher density one. So when the body's highly stressed, you will see that your LDL levels start to come up. When your body's not stressed, when it's working really well, everything's in balance, hormones are in balance, you're sleeping really well, you're moving your body well, you're eating great food, then your liver will produce HDL, so high density lipoproteins, because that's what the body requires just to maintain that balance. So in reality, when we've got higher stress, we've got higher inflammation, you're going to have more LDL than you do. So is the issue the HDL or the LDL, or is the issue what's going on in your body? The answer to that is it's what's going on in your body. Your brain and liver are just responding to the signals that are being sent out by your body. But we can go lower than LDL and HDL. So there are subtypes, and I'm just going to talk about the LDL, because there are different sizes of particles. We can have a very low density LDL, which is really, really small, little, very little. And then we can have a low density, which is just small. Then we have intermediate LDL, and then we have large LDL. So it's based on the size of the particle. Now, large LDL particles have a lower risk of cardiovascular disease than the very little and the little one. So the smaller the particle, the greater risk you have of having a heart attack and things like that. So we need to be really going lower than, oh, we've got a high LDL level. It's like, what are the size of the particles? Now, standard blood tests do not show you what the size of the particles are. They just say your total LDL level, and it's not breaking it down into subtypes, because you could actually have your LDL could all be made up of large particles, which means very little risk of cardiovascular disease. So if we're going to be using cholesterol as a measure of heart disease, which has been for many, many years, when they say when your cholesterol levels are high, you are a higher risk of having a heart attack. We need to be really looking at what does this mean, and really going into a lower level and looking at the detail, because it's within the detail that we can get the actual risk factors. Now, genetics also play a role in your cholesterol levels. Some people will naturally have higher cholesterol levels. Now, doctors are kind of obliged that if you come back with a reading of with a high LDL reading, they're obliged to offer you or prescribe a statin. Note, you're not obliged to take it. But what's determined as a high LDL these days is anything over 4.5. Whereas in the past, when I first started practicing 20 years ago, it was a level of 7. So what's changed? We've brought down the minimum level that statins are prescribed at. So it's almost been halved. So now we're having more statins that are being prescribed, but the cholesterol levels are not really changing. It's just we're prescribing more statins. And some people naturally have a higher level of cholesterol without any increase of cardiovascular disease. That is just the way their body works. That it survives on higher than what is considered normal, you know, and what's normal. These blood test results, these standard ranges, are based on people who have significant health issues, because basically they take a pathology lab takes a population of people that are getting blood tests done, and they say, well, when people have got, you know, a large population, we've got this bell curve, and everyone that sits in the middle, that's kind of where we come out with the optimal ranges. But if you're healthy and you're not getting blood tests done, then you're really not part of that population, but you're being compared to that population. So we've got to really be looking at how is your body working? If your body is healthy, then having a high LDL might not be an issue. Having high cholesterol levels might not be an issue. And, you know, some doctors prescribe based on a single reading, and I really don't think that's right. Ideally, when we're looking at cholesterol levels, you know, yes, they want to take the blood test, but then they look at the trend over, you know, over 12 months. What is the trend? Is the trend upwards? Is it down, or is it relatively stable? Because a blood test only measures your blood on that day and what's going on with your blood and your body on that day. If there's some type of inflammation going on, it's possible that cholesterol might be a little bit high that day because you've got some inflammation, you've got an infection or something, or you're highly stressed, you didn't get enough sleep, whatever. Yes, cholesterol levels can come up, and then particularly the LDLs, and then later on you have it, you know, if we happen to look a week later, they could be down again. So it's really looking at the trend rather than a single reading. And also blood tests do not take into account your genetics. As I mentioned, some people with certain genes naturally have a higher baseline of their cholesterol levels, which is what would be considered normal for them. Normal blood tests also, or standard blood tests also, don't differentiate between the size of the particles. And as I said, it's important to understand, particularly if we're talking about the LDLs, what is the size of the particles? Are they very, very small, or are they large? Because that then changes your risk, your cardiovascular risk. Now, the other thing that I get asked about a lot, and this is something, a bit of a phenomenon, is that women kind of can say, oh, well, you know, my blood tests on cholesterol was always normal, you know, and I'm going to say normal in inverted commas, but now that I'm going through menopause, my cholesterol levels are going up. So why does that happen? Well, there's several reasons. Number one is many women, as they're coming through this transitionary time of life, have high levels of stress going on. So as I mentioned, when your body is stressed, it's going to be making more LDL, and it's just going to continue to, you know, produce enough cholesterol to try and bring the stress down, to try and bring the inflammation down. So if you're the food that you're eating, and you're eating foods that are inflammatory for your body, then the cholesterol is also going to be come up, because it's trying to manage that inflammation, that stress as well. And the other things is the loss of hormones from the ovaries. So cholesterol is required to make reproductive hormones, but if our ovaries are no longer making as much hormone, particularly when you're in that perimenopause stage, and the brain's getting mixed messages as to whether or not the ovaries are still working or they're not working at all, what it can do is it can send a message to the liver and saying, oh, hang on a minute, we're low in hormones, just produce some more hormones. So produce more cholesterol so we can make more hormone. So now the body's now, the liver starts producing more cholesterol to make more hormones, but then the brain gets a message from your ovaries saying, hang on a minute, no, I've got enough, I'm fine, and it you know, you have a period and things like that. So we've got this down of hormones going on as the ovaries are shutting down production, and we're shifting the production of our hormones from ovaries to our adrenal glands, which I cover in other podcasts. So the communication between the brain and the liver is going a little bit haywire, the same as the communication between the ovaries and the brain is going a little haywire. So this is why we can start to see the cholesterol levels can come up. It's because of the loss of hormones that the body's going, oh, hang on, we need to make more. So to make more hormones, I need to make more cholesterol. So this is why it is kind of a part of the transition, that cholesterol levels will start to rise a little as you come into menopause transition. That doesn't mean you need to be automatically put on a statin, because that can actually cause side effects. Because imagine your body's trying to produce more hormone because you're lacking in hormone, and now all of a sudden we get rid of the base ingredient that's required to make hormones. So what do you think is going to happen? You're going to get more of a hormone imbalance, which then means you've got less reproductive hormones because your body can no longer produce it, because we've got medications that are blocking the core ingredient required to make these hormones. And now what have we got? We've got a whole pile of symptoms going on due to that loss of hormones. So then you're in the cycle again. So all of these things just keep interacting with each other. So what are the side effects of these cholesterol-lowering medications, which are also known as statins? It does give a CoQ10 deficiency. So statins actually block our body's ability to absorb CoQ10 and also to produce CoQ10. Now, CoQ10 is required to produce energy in our mitochondria. That's one of its key functions, is energy production. So if we've got less CoQ10, now we've got lowered energy levels. So this is one of the side effects of the statins. Also, muscle pain. It's just aching within the body can be a side effect. It's actually a side effect, once again, of the CoQ10 deficiency, in that the muscles are not getting enough oxygen and there's not enough energy. And this can actually show up a lot around the arms and the chest. And then we have people thinking they're having heart attacks due to these it's a really heavy muscle pain. And women, as they're coming through the menopause transition, also sometimes can have muscle pain going on. So if you're, you know, in the menopause transition, plus you're on statins, now you've got a higher risk of having even more muscle aches and pains. So, you know, it's like these things are all impacting each other. We get vitamin D deficiencies because if you're out in the sun, you're without cholesterol, you're unable to convert that sunlight into vitamin D. You need cholesterol for that. Also, you can end up some of the serious side effects. One of them is liver damage because the statin actually blocks the liver's ability to make cholesterol. And so that then can lead to liver damage because the liver's not doing what it's supposed to do and it's actually being blocked. Also, you can get digestive issues, diarrhea, constipation, gut aches and things like that. Headaches are also very common with the use of statins. Sleep issues, because we need cholesterol to make melatonin. So when our melatonin, which is our sleep hormone, is lowered because we don't have enough cholesterol, then we're having trouble sleeping. So all these symptoms that I'm talking about, if you actually think about them, a lot of them are also symptoms that are associated with the menopause transition. They're also, you know, they're associated with other conditions as well. So if you're on a statin, you know, rather than just saying, oh, this is all about menopause, start to think, well, is it really menopause that's the problem, or is the problem because I'm on a statin and the statin's blocking my body's ability to make what hormone is required and it's producing these side effects? The other really big deficiency, the big side effect of being on a statin is a cholesterol deficiency. And as I've mentioned, cholesterol is required for good health. HDL, when our body is healthy, the liver makes lots of HDL. When your body's stressed, it makes LDL to actually help to make your body feel healthy again. So when you lower your cholesterol levels, now you've got a cholesterol deficiency, so now you've got issues going on. And what happens is the body's now stressed and it's more likely to be making
LDL
because there is a deficiency and the brain's going, I don't have enough cholesterol, goes to the liver, and the liver says, oh, hang on, I'll make some more really, really quickly, so it makes
LDL.
Then you go back to your doctor and you get another blood test done and your cholesterol levels are even higher even though you're on medication, so then they increase your medications until it gets to the stage where your medications overrides the brain and the liver function and those messages are no longer coming through, and that's when we have all of these imbalances going on. Now, I've seen women, many women that come and join me in my program are on 2 cholesterol-lowering medications, and I really have to ask why. Why are we not addressing the underlying cause of why LDL levels are higher than HDL levels? Why are we not looking at the function, the natural function of the body? So what can you do if you go to your doctor and the doctor says, oh, your cholesterol levels are too high, your LDL levels are too high, here you need to go on a statin. Now, always remember, and I'm not saying you not take the statin, it's always your choice, but you could say to your doctor, could you give me 3 months to actually work on this before I take a statin? Because I'd like to try and bring this under control myself. So what can you do? Start looking at your life. You know, is there stress going on in your life? Is there things that you can let go of that you don't really need to be stressing about, worrying about, all of that? Look at your diet. You know, are there things that you know that are in your diet that are inflammatory, and that will be sugars, your processed foods, your alcohol, things like that? You know, they're the obvious things. Most of us know foods that are not that great for us. So can you remove them from your diet? stop triggering an insulin response, because when your body is being triggered an insulin response, and I've done another podcast on this, your body is stressed and you get into what is known as insulin resistance. And this is very common for women as they come through the menopause transition, as their estrogen levels come down, because estrogen protects us against insulin resistance. So we want to stop triggering that. And what's triggering insulin response are the foods, some of the foods we're eating. So the higher carb foods, processed foods, sugary foods. So we need to bring them down. Really simple thing, be happy. Many people are just not happy. But when you're happy and you're releasing those happy, feel-good neurotransmitters, it's just going to bring the stress down anyway, you know. So what do you like to be happy? You know, is it dancing? Is it spending time out in nature? Is it playing with your, you know, your pets? Being around people that make you laugh, watching funny movies, whatever it is, all of that is going to help. Movement, moving your body is going to help at the right time and the right type of movement for you. Getting sun exposure is also going to help. It's going to just help to balance things up, particularly with your melatonin levels, your cortisol levels, to get all that back into balance again. And please don't be scared of cholesterol. Cholesterol is required to live healthy. We need cholesterol for our bodies to function properly. So don't be scared of it when your doctor kind of says, oh, your cholesterol levels are too high, you're at high risk of cardiovascular disease, blah, 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 you need to be on this type of medication for the rest of your life. There's a lot of scare tactics that go on around this, and I really don't understand why. Cholesterol levels might be up this time. Why? What's going on? What's going on in your life? Do you have higher levels of stress? Have you been eating as well as you could do? Start to look at why. Ask your doctor whether it is possible to do some blood tests that measures your LDL size. It can be done. Generally, functional or integrative doctors will do this for you, because it's not covered by Medicare here in Australia. So it is something you have to pay for. But, you know, even if you don't get to measuring the LDL size, look at the other things that you're going on in your life. And as I said, just ask your doctor for time and say, look, can you give me 3-6 months to implement some good food and healthy lifestyle choices so that I can actually get my cholesterol level back in alignment where it is good for my body. So if you want to know a little bit more, not specifically around cholesterol, but inflammation in foods, how to reduce stress in your body, stress in your life, how to make the right food choices for you as well, we do have a free workshop coming up called The Secret to Thriving in Menopause Without HRT. So it's a four-day workshop, and in there, you will learn some of these things that I've just spoken about stress, about movement, about foods, about insulin, all of that. We're covering all of that in the workshop, and what you can do and how you can learn what works right for you based on your genetics. Because as I said, we're all different. So what does your body require based on your genetics when it comes to food, movement, stress, all of that? So if you would like to join us, the link to register for that is bit.ly/menopause_workshop. So bit.ly/menopause with a capital M underscore workshop with a capital W. We kick off the workshop on May the 20th. And if you're looking to lose your meno belly, you want to reduce your symptoms, you just want to feel better, you want to look better, you want to thrive in menopause, then come along for this free workshop and learn exactly the steps that you can take so that you can thrive in menopause. So that's it from me for this week, and I'll be back next week with another episode of Menopause Conversations podcast. And why not share this with a friend? If you've got other friends who you think might be interested, or someone else has been talking about going to their doctor and, you know, being put on medications for cholesterol and things like that, share this information with them, and maybe it might just give them a little bit more information that they can go back and talk to their doctor about. So thank you for joining me, and I'll be back next week with another episode. Bye for now.